If you can remember where that's at, Ecclesiastes, if you start in the book of Psalms, right in the middle of your Old Testament, and go two books to the right, you'll find Ecclesiastes. And we're going to use the same passage of Scripture this week that we used to launch us and our ministry and our message last week. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Well, it was here yesterday. There it is. Verses 9 to 12. This, we believe, is written by Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. And the words tell us today, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is no one to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to the Scripture and the study of your Word again this Sunday morning, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and who will open up the hidden things to us and reveal truth to our heart. I pray today, Father, that you would reveal the truth to every one of us of our need to be a part of Christian community. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So last week we started what I told you was going to be a mini-series. That's changed. But we're looking at a series of messages that we're calling simply Better Together, Church as Community. And we're doing this, we're looking at these scriptures to show us why it's so important that we all be a regular and faithful part of a Christian community, that we gather together as believers in church to worship the Lord. We showed you last week several examples. And this is a spiritual truth. You know, one of the interesting things about spiritual truths is when you really find and discover a spiritual truth, a true doctrine, you'll find it all over the Bible, for one thing. You'll find it everywhere. And if you look, you'll find it probably in creation, in the creation of God. That same principle will be there. Principles, for example, of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. All of these things, they're not only for us as believers, but we see these things all in creation and throughout the Bible. And this principle that we're looking at here is this principle of better together. And last week we shared with you several examples from nature about how things are better when they are together. And we talked about the geese as they fly in that V formation. And that God has caused them to do this very thing, because when they come together to fly in that formation and in that fashion, they are actually able to go further than any one goose would be able to go on his own. They are better together. We told about, I had a chuckle when I read here just a moment ago in verse 11. If two lie down, they can keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? We talked about the penguins last week and how the penguins in Antarctica can get together and survive even the worst and the coldest of conditions and the most brutal wind and all of these things. Because what they do is they all gather together and they keep themselves warm. And they are able to survive something that one on its own probably would never be able to survive. They are better together. Even a redwood tree, we found out last week, rather than having roots that go deep into the ground to make that tree strong, and redwood trees, we found out they can grow to 200-300 feet in the air. But they have a relatively short root system. That is, a shallow root system. Their roots don't go down so much as they go out. And when they go out, they get entangled with the root systems of other redwood trees, and they literally hold on to each other root to root, so that when the storms blow, they literally hold each other up. They are better together. And so we see this spiritual principle in nature, and we see this same kind of spiritual principle here in this passage in the book of Ecclesiastes, that we are better together. This principle applies to us as human beings. It applies to us especially as Christians. And we found several passages of scripture last week that tell us that we are better together. I started with this passage of scripture because this is the first passage of scripture that came to me when I started thinking about this topic, because it's a passage of scripture that we have used for decades now in the wedding services that we do to tell a husband and a wife, as they're entering into that new relationship together, that they're going to be better together. Yeah, everything changes when you get married, but it changes for the better when the two become one and the two come together. We're better together. And there's just something special and something powerful that happens when we choose to faithfully come together and commit to one another in community and live out our lives in community instead of trying to go solo. So many Christians want to go solo, just want to go out on their own and want to do their own thing. And I believe with all my heart that when we do that, when we make that decision, because there are promises and there are blessings that come specifically to people who gather together in community, I believe that if we make the decision to go out on our own and not be a part of community, that we actually forfeit and sacrifice those blessings. Last week we looked at Leviticus chapter 26. I'm not going to read all of these again. You don't have to turn to these passages again. But we found there the promise that those who are seeking the will of the Lord and coming together are stronger together. Leviticus 26 tells us that our strength, our spiritual strength, is not added to one another when we come together. It's actually multiplied. The scripture tells us there that 5 can chase 100. And 100 can chase 10,000. Our spiritual strength is multiplied when we come together. Not just added, but multiplied together. We're better together. Even our prayer strength is greater when we come together in agreement. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, 19, and 20 that if any two of you shall agree upon anything that they should touch in this earth, it will be done for them by the Father who is in heaven. And what that tells us is that when we come together and we seek the will of the Lord, and that's the key here, brother and sister. Again, I think I made the point last week. Jesus is not telling in this passage of scripture that if we just come together, we can bull rush God and make him do for us what we want him to do. No, that's not what the scripture is telling us at all. What the scripture is telling us is when we come together, we're more apt to discover what God's will is. And then we can agree on what God's will is and then pray in agreement for that thing to be done. And that's when Jesus promises that if any two shall agree, it shall be done. Our prayer strength is multiplied when we come together. We are better together. But again, in order for us to be able to do that, we've got to be willing to come together and share some personal things together, which requires from us, I guarantee you, most of us won't just sit down and pour out our heart to somebody that we don't know and tell them all kinds of things, not knowing who they're going to tell what we're talking about. But if we've got somebody that we can have a confidence with and we can share intimate things with, then we're more likely to sit down and share and receive counsel and be blessed by the Lord. My point is that in order to share the intimate things, to be able to come together in agreement, for Amos tells us, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? In order to be able to come together and share those secret things together, then we really need to know each other in a personal way. And that requires getting together. That requires gathering together, dwelling together in unity. The scripture will tell us, and we'll read a passage in just a moment. And so we are better when we come together. Paul taught us from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that as Christians, we all of us as Christians make up the body of Christ. And all of us are different parts of the body, and we all have different functions as Christians. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are encouragers. Some of us are givers. Some of us are people who have just a natural tendency to be merciful. All of these things are special gifts and abilities that God gives to us. And all of these things are needed in the body of Christ. And so we all make up the body of Christ. We all have different functions, but we all make up the body of Christ. And God has so designed his body that the body, just like the natural body, needs to stay connected. We need to be connected as one, for we are better together. Every part is necessary. Every part is needed. No part can live independently of the others. In the human body or the body of Christ, we will sacrifice when we try to go it alone. We are better together. And then in Psalm 92, we read the verses over there that tell us that the righteous will flourish. They will succeed. They will be prosperous. They will be successful when they are planted in the house of the Lord. Planted speaks of being committed, being faithful, being tied into a local body of believers. And Psalm 92 says that if we'll be faithful and committed to the local body of believers, we'll be durable and fruitful like a palm tree, he told us there. Even in dry seasons, we'll be strong and beautiful and useful for building like the cedars of Lebanon, he tells us there. Fruitful even in our old age. We're better when we are connected together. Look back with me at Psalm 133. We'll pick up where we left off last week now. Back two books again to your left this time, to the book of Psalms. And let's look at Psalm 133 together. Three short verses. While you're turning there, let me just set it up for you, give you the backstory. This is a Psalm of David. And David was the second king of Israel. And David's mission, David's call under the Lord, was to rally the nation of Israel together as a single nation, as a mighty nation, so that together they could conquer the enemies of Israel. That's exactly what he did. Before David became king, there are 12 tribes in Israel, and they're sort of a loose confederation of tribes. But David brings them together so that they are no longer seen as 12, but they are seen as one. And they are mighty, and they conquer their nations, and they drive out their enemies. And David is able to do this because he brings them together in unity. And he writes this in Psalm 133. Look at it with me. He says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Then he gives two pictures that probably don't make any sense to us whatsoever, but let me try to unfold it for you, and let's see what we can learn here. He says, first of all, in verse 2, it's like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. What the heck does all that mean? Well, let's try to break it down. You know who Aaron is, right? Everybody know who Aaron is? Aaron is the brother of Moses. And when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, God called his brother Aaron to be the first priest of the nation of Israel, okay? And so anointing oil is poured on Aaron as a symbol of the anointing of God on his life to be a priest. But that oil, as David sees it here, runs down upon his head, it comes down upon his beard, and it even comes down, the end of verse 2, upon the edge of his robes. In other words, that oil just runs all over him. Okay? Here's the picture that David is painting for us. Aaron is anointed by God to be a priest, but watch this. The oil runs over his whole body, telling us that all who are a part of Aaron will themselves be anointed priests of God. And we know that's what they were. Aaron was anointed to be priest, but so were all of his sons. All of his male children were also anointed to be priests in Israel. And so David is seeing that anointing that came upon Aaron. And he says, he compares that to Israel. And he says, when we gather together and dwell together as brothers in unity, then we share an anointing upon us, just like Aaron and his household had the anointing of God upon their lives. And they did have the anointing of God on them, and they rallied together as a unit and had victory over all of their enemies. Look at the last verse, verse 3. It says, it's like the dew of Hermon. I bet you all know what that is, don't you? You do not. It's like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. What the heck does that mean? There's a mountain north of Israel that's Mount Hermon. And the dew that rests and falls upon this mountain is said to be very heavy and very thick. And when this dew comes upon this mountain becomes very fertile and becomes very fruitful. And there's a lot of production and productivity that comes out of that dew that comes down upon them. And what David is saying to Israel here is, when we come together as a unit and we gather together and dwell together in unity as men of God and women of God, when we dwell in unity, it's as though that dew from Hermon has come to rest upon us. And just as it produces fruit on Mount Hermon, it will produce fruit in us as a nation. We will be productive. We will be strong. We will be fertile, and we will be victorious. And so these are the pictures that he's painting in these two little things. But now look at the end of verse 3, because there's something else that he says that you need to grasp. He says at the end of verse 3, the last line of the psalm, verse 3, it says, there I believe is the place, verse 1, where we dwell together in unity. When we come together, commit to one another, share life together, live out our lives with one another, at that place, God commands a blessing. Life evermore. Life evermore. Did you hear it? There's a special blessing that comes when we dwell together in unity and live out our lives in Christian community. A place of fruitfulness, a place of success and prosperity, a place of victory, a place of life and life more abundant. What's he telling us in this verse? We are better together. We are better together, and we're better off together. The blessings that come to us from the Lord, in my opinion, come to us when we are planted in the house of the Lord, committed and faithful, lovingly connected to the body of Christ. The blessings of God come to us, life more abundant. Blessings that I've already said, I believe we actually sacrifice if we choose to try to go it alone instead of being a part of a Christian community, you see. God says there, at that place of connectivity and unity and community, there is the blessing. We've got to be at that place to receive the blessing. You follow what I'm saying here? If I say to you, there's a blessing under the pavilion, Where do I want you to go? I want you to go to pavilion because that's where the blessing is. And you can't run to the front yard and find the blessing because the blessing's in the backyard, you see. And it's the place of unity that God pours out His blessings upon His church. Special blessings because they have made the decision to dwell together in unity. The blessings that can come are blessings that can be quite literally can be tangible things. They can be tangible things, natural things. Look with me over at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 real quick. Here is a blessing that will come to us when we dwell together in community. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is about money. Okay? It's about money. Paul has no qualms whatsoever about teaching about money because he knows it's needed for our day-to-day use. It's needed for the kingdom of God. And so he has no qualms to talk about money in this passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me just read a couple of verses to confirm that for you. Verses 3 and 4. Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urgency for the favor of participating in the support of the saints. So we're talking about a financial offering for the saints of God. Okay, look down to verse 7. And he says to this church, he says, but just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love which we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. Be abundant in your giving to help the body of Christ. All right? Now, go down to verses 11 through 15. Here's my point. But now finish doing also just as there was the readiness to desire to it, so that there may be also the completion of it by your ability. Paul says, you desire to do it in your heart, follow through. Follow through. You want to give, follow through, be a giver. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but for way of equality. Watch this. He says, I'm asking you to give, not so that you have to deal with less and other people have more, but so that you are all equal in the body of Christ. Verse 14, at this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. In other words, Paul says, there is a time when we all go through difficult times financially. But if we are knit together in the body of Christ and as one unit living life together, then we are there for each other even in hard, difficult financial times. And when we go through those times, we should be able to lean on one another in the body of Christ to see to it that our needs get met. And then as I have need and I come to you and those needs are met, then down the road when you have need, you come to me and I'll help you with your needs, you see. So that there is equality and all of us always have our needs met. There is actually a passage of Scripture in Acts that pictures this for us. Look at the book of Acts with me, please. Chapter 4. And verse 32 to 35. Acts 4 verse 32 tells us the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each one as any had need. Brothers and sisters, this is the biblical welfare system. Okay? This is the biblical welfare system. Brothers and sisters in Christ taking care of one another when one has a shortfall, when one has a financial need. When one has a financial need, they would sell their land. They would sell their houses. This is how completely they were dedicated to one another in the body of Christ in the first church. That if anybody had any need of anything, they would find a way to meet that need among themselves. They didn't run to the government and make a god out of government. They went to one another in the body of Christ. And that's the way things ought to be. The blessing comes upon the body when the body works together to be a blessing to one another. My father, God rest his soul, my father was one of the biggest supporters of this ministry the whole time he was alive and with us. And Dad was just a big giver. And it wasn't just to the church itself, but Dad looked out for the people in this church. And particularly during the holidays, often Dad would call and Dad would say, "Now, is there anybody at church that needs anything? Anybody at church that needs some food during the holidays?" And he would provide us with the money to buy food, to give food baskets to families within the church. He didn't want anybody else knowing this. I can tell it now because he's gone. But he would give money to the church so that we could take care of the families of the church during the holidays, Christmas time. Now, does everybody have everything they need so that all the families have a good Christmas? So that the children have toys, have food on their table at Christmas time? And he would write us a check so that we could take care of the families within the church. The blessings that you receive when you're planted in the church, when you faithfully dwell together in community, they can be tangible. Or they can be more spiritual in nature, if you will. It could be just a word that you share. I can tell you there have been times when God has given me a word for somebody of our church. And I know as I'm preparing for Sunday morning that this is something this person needs to hear. Just to be a blessing. Just to be a word of encouragement. And did you know that there have been times when I've had that word for somebody and they didn't show up in church on that Sunday morning? I'm telling you, brother and sister, when we don't commit to one another and gather together in unity, we sacrifice blessings that God wants to give to us. And we may have a word of encouragement for someone going through a difficult time in their life. Turn over, I got a couple more scriptures quickly and we'll be done here today. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 4, back toward the latter part of your Bible. 1 Peter 4. I shared with you earlier how God gives to all of us various gifts that God intends for us to use to be a blessing to one another. He gives us gifts of kindness. He gives us gifts of mercy. He gives us gifts of teaching. God blesses us financially so that we can be a blessing to other people. God gives us a word. God gives us a prophetic word to speak over someone else's life in order to be a blessing to them. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, let's read 10 and 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as the one who is speaking the utterances of God.
Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that all in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God gives us gifts that we can use to be a blessing to one another and build up the body of Christ together. And see, listen, so many times, we saw it there in Acts chapter 4, even in Peter, here at 1 Peter chapter 4. So many times, what God does, He does through people. Let me just share with you this morning, probably the very vast majority of the things God is ever going to do in your life and in my life, He's going to do it through somebody else. God's not just going to sovereignly rain down money on you when you have financial need. He's probably going to send somebody to you who's got a little money, can bless you with it, you see. But you see, if you look at that person and you start seeing that person as the source, you miss the fact that God has provided for you and met your needs, you see. When somebody speaks a word over you, and God has given them that word, you may see that person as the one who is giving you the blessing, and they are, but you need to understand that ultimately that blessing is coming to you from God. God is looking out for you and meeting your needs through another individual. That's the biggest way God works, is through one another. Why does He do that? So that we'll be connected to one another. So that we'll stay in unity together. So that we'll live in community together. Listen, if God was just going to rain it down on us without anybody else getting involved, we wouldn't need to be in community. We could go out on our own. We could do our own thing. But God has so created the body that just as the human body needs all of its parts flowing together, functioning together, working together, so that the body does what the body's supposed to do, and the body is healthy and strong and fruitful and prosperous in every way, so too is the spiritual body. And God works through all of the individual parts to bless all of the other parts of the body. You may say, and I'm saying to you that this is why we need to come together as Christians. It's why we need to come together in church and be committed to one another. It's because God wants us to use. Listen, you may come to church, with a particular situation and a need in your life. And there may be somebody else who comes to church that same Sunday morning who's been where you are. And because they've been where you are, they know exactly what you need and how to speak into your life to encourage you in that place in your journey. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, about verse 3 in there, tells us that God is a God of all comfort, who comforts us in our seasons of distress with a comfort wherewith we can comfort others in their season of distress. Parish phrase, God blesses you so you can bless others. See. And so you come to church and somebody is going through something and you're in the middle of something and they've been through it. And they say, you know what, brother? I can sympathize. I've walked your path. And let me tell you, when I walked it with God, I saw God do this and that in my life, you see. And see, people who are going through something, they will receive from other people who have been there a whole lot faster than they'll receive from somebody who's never been there. In other words, there are a lot of things in life that I've never experienced. Okay? Without being specific, as a man, there are a lot of things that women have to deal with that I can't really speak to. That makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? I can't speak to those things that they're going through, but Becky can, because she's been there. And so they can receive from her what they couldn't receive. I may know the right answer. Probably got it from her. But just because I know the right answer doesn't mean somebody else is going to receive it from me, because they look at me and they think, what do you know? You're a man. And they could mean that on all kind of levels, I understand. But my point is a specific situation, okay?
What was I talking about? We all have these gifts and we all have these talents and these abilities, and God wants to use all of us to be a blessing to one another. But we need to come together in order to find these things and receive these things from one another. Let me close with the last verse of scripture. It is in, to me, it's in this context. Look at the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. It is in this context of the fact that God wants us to gather together, dwell in unity, so that through one another He can bring blessing to the body and encourage us all and build us all up. It is in that context that the writer of the book of Hebrews writes these words in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to, listen, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. One of the things we're supposed to be doing in the body is encouraging one another in our spiritual journey. Look at how it's done, verse 25. Not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The writer of the book of Hebrews knew that there was a day of the Lord that was coming, a day of judgment, and there were already signs and first fruits of these kinds of things, even back in biblical days, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. How much more today are we closer to that day of judgment, that day that is on its way? And how much more then do we need as believers in Christ to be encouraging one another in our spiritual journey as we see that day approaching? And how does that take place and where does that take place? It takes place when we gather together. And we come together and we learn about each other and we love on each other and we care about each other. And we see one another in places of hurt and in places of pain. And we speak into one another's lives and we encourage one another in our spiritual journey. What's He telling us? We are better together. We are better together. Together. And let me just say one more thing about this passage of Scripture, because I know a lot of people look at this and it, Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking our assembling together. Don't forsake coming. He's talking about going to church, guys. He's talking about being faithfully committed to the local body, the church. Okay? He says, don't forsake that because there's blessing there for you. There's blessing there for you. And please understand that that's why He's saying this. A lot of people look at this as New Testament law. Well, that's law. I don't have to go to church. No, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to heaven either for that matter, but that's another subject, all right? Well, look. I'm sorry. Here's why the writer is saying this. Not forsaking our assembling together, but encouraging one another. Please understand that every instruction that God ever gave through the whole Bible, whatever His instructions were, including the instructions to be a part of a faith community together, every instruction God has ever given has always been for our good and for our blessing. What am I saying to you? I'm saying when God says go to church, He's trying to set you up to be blessed. It's not about law and it's not about legalism. It's about love and it's about community. And it's about the favor of God that comes upon a people who dwell together in unity. We are better together. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that You help us see this spiritual principle and this spiritual truth.
that we are indeed better together, and when we commit to one another and dwell together in unity. Open our eyes to this, Father, and help us by your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to live it out. Thank you, Father, that we are indeed better together. Amen and amen. Let's stand together this morning as we bring things to a close.